Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back.
I couldn't be more excited to introduce our newest Rebel, your new head football coach, Lane Kiffin.
I think he is prepared for this job.
I am in on Lane Kiffin being the hire that I wanted Ole Miss to make.
This has been a long journey. You know, about 10 years ago, all right, we left the SEC. Okay, now we're coming back.
Lane Kiffin is going to be the first Saban disciple to beat the GOAT.
Golden Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golick Jr., Trey Wingo here, Jason Fitz as well. And, you know, it's living proof that things happen quickly. It was in June of 2018 when Lane Kiffin signed a contract extension at Florida Atlantic, tying him to the school through 2023.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as these things tend to happen, now the job came along, and now Lane is the new head coach at Ole Miss.
It's what happens in college.
Exactly.
I mean, it's and you ask a coach about it, and what are they going to say when they're at that college that they want to stay at that college? I mean, I get it. It's a tough position to be in, but they have the right to do this, so some do it. I mean, it doesn't look pretty at times how it all works, but you know what? They have every right to do that. That's why we talk a lot about the players. You know, are their rights going to change in this with transfers the way they do it? Because a lot of times, you know, you keep hearing, and I guess players need to understand that, is you're supposed to go to the school for the school. But, I mean, come on. A lot of players go to the school for the coach. And a lot of times the coach is there and then not there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's on players now as much as any to go eyes wide open to these situations, because you see the contracts get handed out. They are for recruiting. It's to say, hey, we've got stability. Right. We've got all these things here. But if everyone's honest, you know that there are only a handful of jobs in the country that are beyond being stepped over for another job here. And so we see this kind of movement. And for a guy like Lane, it is very interesting because we know his road has been different. It has not been the conventional coaching path in a lot of senses. So now back in the limelight and the fray in the SEC, and we couldn't be more excited about
exactly
it.
Which is why everyone at my alma mater, the Baylor University, say, well, Lane, you know, Matt Rhule signed that contract extension, and he did, but that doesn't mean he might be leaving sooner rather than later. It's the way it works. And with that, we're delighted to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by the new head coach of Ole Miss, as he clears his throat to give us the best possible answers, Lane Kiffin. Lane, thanks for being with us this morning. What made this the right move for you this time around?
Well, you know, come to the best conference in all of football, the SEC, and a place that has won. You know, as you look at jobs and things, and, you know, we're not coming to a place that, you know, hey, we have to do some, you know, magic formula that's never been done. And I think when you look at jobs, you want to look at that. And Ole Miss, you know, over the years had some great teams and some really good runs. And, you know, I was at Alabama for 3 years with Coach Saban, and in those 3 years, we only lost 2 regular season games. They were both to Ole Miss. So I watched, you know, the excitement, the energy of the program after that win on, you know, as they were running over me on the sidelines. You know, and my brother was here, so I got to spend part of a summer here and see the town and people and the area, and was very impressed. And so that part made it easy, because we left FAU, had a great team coming back, and we're really rolling. But I just think that, you know, at the end of every year, watching an SEC championship, watching the playoffs, and just, you know, I think that was missing, you know, that game day environment, you know, was missing. And so that's what drew me to it. And an athletic director that was, you know, former All-American basketball player that understands how important football is to a program.
And Lane, forgetting your situation, let's say coaching, you know, as a whole, because what you've done this year, many coaches do. We've had them on this program that have gone from one school to another. Can you kind of talk about the process and sometimes how it looks from the outside in to coaches that sign extensions at schools? And you should have every right to sign an extension, but then sometimes you leave a few years after that. It happens every single year. And a lot of times from the outside looking in, you guys get criticized a lot for, oh, my God, you just signed an extension and now you're gone, when this has been going on for a long time. Can you talk about that process and why it's working the way it works?
Well, sometimes it's scrutinized for whatever in our profession, but it happens in your profession, it happens in everyone's profession. You know, it's, they have contracts and they have buyouts in them, and so people pay to get you in those things, and it's why they have the different structures. But, you know, a lot of times they're more criticized when they're kind of sideways. This one, even the FAU people understood, you know, and they brought us there and they said, hey, you know, if you turn this thing around in 3 years, you know, have us winning and our roster's completely changed, and, you know, it was a really good hire. So they were awesome, you know, much different than leaving Tennessee where, you know, people are saying, okay, this is, in their opinion, sideways, you know, because they're both, you know, top 20 jobs. So this time was a lot easier. They weren't burning anything in Boca.
Talking to Lane Kiffin with us, head coach of Ole Miss on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. No burning in Boca, but it has been a strange road, Lane. I mean, you're a guy that has drawn a lot of criticism in the past as your road has not been the conventional one. So for you, looking back now, what has changed the most for you now as Lane Kiffin, the head coach at Ole Miss, looks back at maybe Lane Kiffin, the coach of Tennessee or the coach of the Oakland Raiders?
I think there's a different appreciation now. I think it's much like, you know, when people are given too much too early, you know, with, whether that's jobs, money, and a lot of times that's not a good thing. You know, I talk about it with kids too, you know, when they're raised around money and certain things. So I think I wasn't ready for all the stuff that comes with it, the attention, the money, the power, all that. And so, and going to FAU, you know, has really helped me. I just said on the phone this morning as I was talking to someone, I have such an appreciation now for the little things, you know, as you walk into your office and you know, everything's ready to go, your schedule's ready, all these things, and you know, you got nice couches, you know, these things that you didn't appreciate before because it's all you knew. You know, all you had been at the top and all these things. So, you know, the ability to go recruit and have planes ready for you at all times, you know, versus having to take 6 hours to get somewhere. Well, once you have that taken away, and then you appreciate it a lot more when you have it back. So just totally different mindset of appreciation and being humble.
So along those lines, where you are now, would you, and when I say change anything, I don't mean in the past, but the way you coach now or go about your business, has it changed over the years?
Night and day. I mean, that, and I would hope anybody does, you know, over 10 years of growth, going through all the things that I did and then going to work for Coach Saban. You know, you got 3 years to learn from the best who in a lot of areas polar opposite of myself. And so you got to learn that and see that. And like I said, it was almost like someone going back to school, you know, getting fired as head coach at USC, going back to being assistant, like going back to college to get a master's, another degree. And that's really what I felt like there, you know, like a GA taking notes. And so I would not be here today without him. And I certainly would not be performing like we did as a head coach, you know, over the last 3 years without him.
So how would you describe your relationship with Nick then at this point? Because there were always those interesting conversations we saw on the sidelines when you were on his staff. It always seemed like there was some spice.
Again, I think it's one of those things that you appreciate more as time goes on, you know, when you're in it. And I said, it's kind of like a parent, you know, or, you know, as a kid, you don't understand why they're doing what they do. And then when you kind of move out of the house, you understand more and you find yourselves doing the same things. That's what it's like. You know, I'll find myself doing something like, man, I just did the same thing Coach Saban does. Like, so I think it's one of those things that, you know, when you're in it, maybe you don't have the appreciation for it. Then when you get away from it, you appreciate it more and you find yourself doing a lot of the same things, because if you don't, it's pretty stupid not to do the same things.
Talking to Lane Kiffin with us, Ole Miss head coach, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And one of the fun parts about your relationship with Coach Saban is that it has taken to some trolling on Twitter at times, and you're one of those unique follows as a guy who's been a head coach and a prominent figure in college football, because you do have fun with it and you are open with a lot of things in certain ways. How would you describe your approach to Twitter, and is it going to change now that you are back in the same conference as Nick Saban?
Well, you know, I don't do it because I wake up one and say, okay, hey, I want to do Twitter every day. You know, this is something that fan bases love. And more important than that, recruits and recruits' families. I mean, there's not a day in recruiting I don't go walking into a house and a mom, you know, or a sister or the kid says, "Hey, I follow you on Twitter. I love what you do. It's so funny." Like, that's, and a lot of them will say, "We didn't know where FAU was until we started following you on Twitter." So our president down there was all about, I think our out-of-state applications went up like 40-some% the first year we were there. And like he said, the only thing you do is change the head football coach. So there was a method behind the madness. So it wasn't just being out there to be out there. And I do like to have fun, you know, with the fans. And, you know, I think they really enjoy it too.
What was the experience like down there in Boca? Because it seemed like such a great fit, because it was after the Alabama job and everything, going back and, as you said, kind of getting to hit a reset and rebuild a little bit. What was your fondest memory from being down in Boca?
Well, I went the opposite way. You know, as you talk about, you know, strange path, you know, normally you start there and then you work your way up. You know, I went backwards, NFL, USC, you know, or Tennessee, USC. I kind of went backwards in FAU after Alabama. So, it was good. You know, it was good to have to build something, you know, with not everything around you. You know, when you get these jobs, you got a million people you can hire, you know, endless resources. You go there, you got to, you know, you got to do some stuff, you know, find ways to every single way you can to make a program better. And so once you go there, which I think I've always said, you know, like Urban Meyer starting somewhere smaller, you know, then you take that to the bigger stage and work that way and try to find every single way to win. You know, now with those resources, now you can really build a championship program.
I'm glad you mentioned going backwards, because we've sort of had fun at times calling your career the Benjamin Button of coaching careers. You know, sort of went the opposite way that it mostly goes. But you're now there at Ole Miss, and you have a quarterback in John Reese Plumlee, who is a dual-threat quarterback. What do you think you can do with him this year? And is this the wave of the future? We see what's going on with Lamar Jackson. We saw Kyler Murray be the number one overall pick. So where are we and how these quarterbacks are going to be perceived going forward?
Well, this is definitely the direction we're going. And I think this is one of the only times that NFL's catching up with college. You know, usually over the years, you know, schematics, you're always wanting to go to the NFL to learn, and then it trickles down to college. This is the other way around. You know, just like over the last 3 years, NFL teams have come down to study what we're doing at FAU, you know, to translate it on that level. And so you see them going to a bunch of different places, Oklahoma, all these places to learn it, because the game has just changed. And, you know, especially in college with the tempo that you put into it, when you have a quarterback, you know, that can move around, and now you're running 80 plays a game, the defense is so tired. Look at the second halves of games. Look at those games, you know, with Jalen Hurts coming in, you know, the game, and now they can't tackle him, you know, because he's coming off the bench fresh, and Georgia's, you know, on play 70 of defense. When you can, the quarterback's always the fresh one at the end, even when he's the starter playing, because half the snaps you just hand the ball off. So that guy's fresh at the end when everybody else is tired. So when you look at these elite running quarterbacks, look at what they do in the fourth quarter against teams.
Talking to Lane Kiffin, new head coach at Ole Miss. So you wanted it and you got it. You're back in the SEC. So what's the you know, as you start the winter workouts and get the spring ball, that message? Because you open up with Baylor next year, and then the fun of the SEC, three of your next four games are Auburn, LSU, and Bama, all in a row. So what's the learning curve early on for this team that was 4-8 this past year?
Well, gee, I hadn't seen that schedule yet. I didn't know.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Baylor, and then Southeast Missouri, and then Auburn, LSU, Alabama. Yeah.
So, yeah, welcome back to the SEC, especially this side of it. So the message really was just, you know, the other day in the team meeting, that competition's open, doesn't matter what you've done before, you know, 5-star, 0-star, we're going to play the best players. That's our job to win here. And so we're going to go sign great elite players to come in to try to take your job. So spring's a huge opportunity for the guys that are here. And as we looked at this and looked at other jobs, this is a very good roster. Obviously, we need to improve in some areas, but there's a lot of really good young talent, especially on offense here, which was a big part of our decision.
Lane, mentioning offense, and we've referenced your time at Alabama, I think of all the plays on the side, like the Blake Sims years, of you with the touchdown sign up before the ball had even thrown, because you'd seen the things that had started to happen there. You've been one of the better minds in college football for a while now. When you walk into a team meeting room every year different, how do you go about starting and building that offense from the ground up, since we see there are so many innovations in college football now. What is your building block when you're going into each offseason of how am I going to start the offense this year?
Well, I think that you always want to work to your personnel, and I hope you saw that at Alabama in the 3 different years, three very different quarterbacks in 3 SEC championships, you know, and we had 3 SEC offensive players of the year, all 3 years there in all 3 different positions. So you got to work to what you have. And probably the stat I'm most proud of, you know, in the last 6 years, you know, between Alabama and FAU, won 5 conference championships with 5 different quarterbacks. So, you know, I think that that shows, in my opinion, that you need to build around what you have and not say, this is what we do no matter what.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. And listen, I wish you all the best except for week one next year against Baylor for obvious reasons, Lane. Yeah. But we'll welcome back to the SEC, and we hope good things are coming.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Lane. Very open about,
yeah, absolutely,
about, especially in the beginning, getting handed things to you. You always got that plane. You always got that big couch in your office. So kind of you expect it, and it's always there. So, and certainly, like, I think for the most part, I think we all agree with age comes a little bit of wisdom to say, okay, it's here and I still have it, but let me have a little more introspect about how I'm going to deal with all this.
It is always interesting, too, because you look at someone like Lane and you always hope for that step to come, because we kind of referenced it there at the end, and I kind of asked because this guy is a great offensive play caller. We saw that. When we talk about what Alabama is now on offense, the roots of that came when Lane was there and they started to open things up. I used Blake Sims as the reference point for that reason, because that was not a guy you would have been expected to be leading some major aerial assault in Alabama. But that's exactly what happened. So you look at that now and say, man, if that maturity starts to catch up with the guy who has been the offensive mind, this could be a pretty deadly combo.
And just be fun. But don't ever lose that. I mean, that childish sort of thing that he does, right? And that's what makes him interesting.
And to take you on the inside a little bit, for the actual players there, the 18 to 22 year olds that are there, that are staying there, all of a sudden you got a new coach, and even more importantly, you'll probably get a new assistant coach
and a new position coach.
And exactly, a position coach, that's what I meant. You're right. And in all honesty, for people to understand, that's who players deal with the most. The stars deal with the head coach a little more. Most of the players deal with your position coach. So you'll get a new position coach. You'll get a different philosophy of coaching, maybe a different scheme, both offensively and defensively. You know those coaches are going to look at your tape from last year and judge you a bit. They're going to say everybody has a clean slate, but they're going to look at tape. I've never met a coach who said, know what? I'm not going to look at tape.
Correct.
No coach exists who doesn't look at tape. So they're going to check out some of the talent they have. And then you as a player, there is kind of, while there is that tape of you, you will get to produce for the first time in front of a new coach, right? And kind of maybe reinvent yourself if you feel like you have to do that.
You've got a new opportunity, but this whole process, and you're going to go through winter workouts, spring football, summer conditioning.
So we know you went through this. You and Jake went through this. You had Charlie Weiss as a coach, and then you had Brian Kelly came in.
You did, and I had 4 position coaches in 5 years, and so I've been through that process too of, like you said, learning someone. And you learn who's lying and who's telling the truth. And that goes both ways, as players and as coaches, because coaches are going to see guys in shorts through the offseason program that blow them away.
Yeah.
They're going to look like absolute beast throughout that process. And you get to spring football and you can kind of still get away from the lie there, because you're going against the guys you've been going against in practice a lot of those instances. And then you're going to get to fall camp in the season, and everyone's going to learn, how do you operate on game day when stuff really starts to happen and we need solutions, not people losing their mind, and who can actually go out there and get it done for you? And conversely, as a player, you learn, all right, my coach can say a lot that sounds good in the first couple of meetings, but when we start to really get into it, is he going to have his composure and be looking for solutions with us? Or is he going to be the guy that shuts down and all that? So you learn a lot about each other that it can only happen once you get through all of it. But it is starting that process and taking account of everything that happens. So that relationship building for everyone involved in that is going to be, it's a wild ride. Going through a coaching change is hard business.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.